Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. As we gather here on this third Sunday of Advent, I pray your hearts are being filled with anticipation and hope for the coming of Christmas, making you ready for the second coming of the Lord, who will come with all the heavenly hosts of angels that surely dawn the eastern sky, Middle Eastern sky, with songs of praise saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The candles on our Advent wreath burn brightly, illuminating the path to the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, we turn our attention to the Gospel according to St. John, where we encounter the figure of John the Baptist, a powerful witness to the light. Now, John begins his Gospel not with the familiar story of a manger in Bethlehem, but with cosmic language about the Word becoming flesh. And in the midst of this cosmic proclamation, the Apostle John introduces us to a man sent from God, whose name was also John. This John is not the author of the gospel, but rather the one we know as John the Baptist, a messenger preparing the way for the coming of the light of the world. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. In the verses we heard today, the religious authorities interrogate John. "Who are you?" He responds with a resolute denial. "I'm not the Christ." They press further. "Are you Elijah?" And again, "Are you the prophet?" And John answers each time the same with a firm no. And yet as he denies being Christ, Elijah, or the prophet, John asserts his identity in another way. He says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." We live in a world filled with noise and confusion, but you know what? It's no different today than it was in the first century. Political intrigues, wars, rumors of war kept people in fear. The Roman presence in Israel made things difficult for the religious leaders. The religious leaders made things difficult for the average Jews with their rabbinic solutions to everyday problems. And it's easy to think that life was just less complicated than it is today. But don't you think they had the same kinds of domestic problems, family issues that we have today? Let me tell you, those problems were rampant in the first century, just as they were today. Do you think Jesus was living in some sort of vacuum when talking about things like spousal relationships and being faithful to husband and wife? Was he clueless about the business world when he talked about cheating the poor and being wary of the desire to love money, which is, he called, the root of all evil? Did people sit and wonder why the master was talking about lying and giving false testimony? Let me tell you, you can trust the historians of that day. Their legal courts were filled with petitions from those who were suffering injustice. And do you think statistics regarding murder in their cities were barely negligible? Remember the man on the road coming from Jerusalem who was robbed by bandits and left for dead until the great Samaritan came and rescued him? You see, Jesus caught people's attention because of the themes of his preaching were everyday occurrences of life. This was and is the life of every generation, ours included. But John's voice was raised above the clamor of the day, proclaiming a message of preparation and repentance. His voice also calls us to clear the obstacles from our hearts, to make straight the way of the Lord. Advent is a season of preparation, and John the Baptist stands as a figure urging us to prepare our hearts for the coming of the light, the coming of the Lord. As Lutherans, we understand the importance of repentance and preparation. We recognize our sinful state and the reality that we can't save ourselves. So we rely on the grace of God revealed in Jesus Christ. John the Baptist's call to repentance echoes through the centuries, inviting us to turn away from sin and turn toward the light that is coming into the world. God's plea for his people to repent and turn to him for forgiveness can be found throughout Israel's long history. It's a message that was heard throughout the ages before and after Christ made his first appearance. But what made John's message so important was that God was going to do a new thing. God himself was going to come down from the heavens and make all things right through the incarnation of Jesus, his one and only Son. That incredible event, God's first coming as a human being, is what we call Christmas. And that Christmas changed everything for all people. God in Christ was coming personally to bring forgiveness and hope through his incarnate life, his human suffering, his physical death, and his resurrection from the grave. The coming of Jesus at Christmas is a big deal. It is life-transforming, not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done. And what did he do? He took our place in death so that we might be cleansed of all sin and made ready for his second coming and our glorification in bodily form. That is almost too impossible for me to even think about. Isaiah got it exactly right. Listen to his message. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. The issue for us today is no different than it was for John the Baptist and the people of his day. In the midst of our busy, convoluted, and complicated lives, it's so easy to lose sight of the true meaning of Christmas. We can get so caught up in the hustle and bustle while ignoring the greater issue of sin, which is the reason why Christ came into this world. We will shop until we drop and decorate homes beautifully, no matter how much hostility remains in our homes. And all through the season, we think we can cover with ornaments and lights our need for Jesus and risk missing the profound significance of Christ's birth. John the Baptist calls us to refocus, to realign our priorities, and to prepare our hearts for receiving our Savior. The message of Advent is not just about looking backward to the first coming of Christ, but also looking forward to his second coming. John the Baptist's role as a witness is not confined to the past. You see, as Christians, we too are called to be witnesses to the light in our present age, which means we need to get our own lives in order first. So let's hear the voice of John the Baptist and heed his call. Let's clear away the distractions and the obstacles of our lives. Let us live lives of daily repentance and turn faithfully toward the light of Christ that shines in the darkness like no other. This may seem contradictory to the season of gladness and joy and song, but all of our glitzy decorations cannot deliver what true repentance and faith can. Turning to God in repentance and faith causes him to adorn us with the garments of salvation, with robes of righteousness. Why? So that we might be saved on the day of the Lord, but also that we might be witnesses to the light of Christ, as was John. Now, our witness to the light may not look like John's, but we can still witness. And that's probably something that we've all pondered before. It's difficult to think that we would dress up like John and lead people out to the River Jordan and baptize them and, you know, do all the things that he did, special diets and all. But that's not the deal. What does Christ expect of us? Well, in various places in Scripture, it will say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Husbands, or wives, respect your husbands as to the Lord. Parents, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Those are just kind of some specific things I looked at. But in general, if we looked at Colossians 3, we hear Paul giving us some words, encouraging words. And he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. These are rich spiritual ornaments that God has given us in Christ, that will give us the ability to be witnesses of the light. So as the day of Christmas and the second return of Christ draws ever near, may our lives reflect the hope and joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, so that we may worthily be worthy witnesses to the light. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.